And we appreciate you all being faithful. All right. I appreciate the volume in, and don't be shy to use it. All righty. Sunday evening, my throat is about shot, and I can't hardly hear myself. But it sounds good up here right now. 2 Corinthians, please. 2 Corinthians, if you take your Bibles, please, with me. The book of 2 Corinthians and chapter number 10. And we're going to do our very best to mind the Spirit of God tonight and preach what God's laid upon our heart. And 2 Corinthians chapter number 10. And I want to read verse number 12. I want to preach the stumbling block of comparing. The stumbling block of comparing. We won't keep you long tonight. We'll do our best. Again, visitors, you're our honored guests. Thank you so much for being in the service with us. We don't take that lightly nor for granted. We appreciate all of our visitors. And church folks, thank you for your faithfulness to the house of God. Notice verse number 12 of 2 Corinthians chapter number 10. Paul said, "For we dare not make ourselves of the number, or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves. But they measure themselves by themselves, and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise." Let me read that verse again. Y'all go hold to it. It's a kind of a tricky verse. He said, "For we dare not make ourselves of the number, or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves, and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise." Now, Corinth, I've preached Corinth, I've taught it, but Corinth is a carnal bunch, as you already know. They lacked in no gifts. They had a lot of gifts. God had blessed that church with spiritual gifts and natural gifts. There's a lot of knowledge there. But there's very little spirituality there. Paul said that they were carnal. He said, "You cannot eat meat." He said, "Because you're not spiritual enough to eat the meat of God's word. I'm still feeding you with the milk of God's word." Yeah. And of course, many in our day we are seeing that are still on the bottle, and they shouldn't be on table food. Amen. Of course, I've been on table food most of my life, physically speaking. There's no sense in wasting money on baby food when a man wants some taters. Amen. And steak and gravy and all that. But spiritually, these people, they were carnal, even though God had blessed them. And they would try to be better than the other. It was a competition a lot of times. And folks, the very worst thing we could ever do in church is make it a competition. This isn't Star Search. This isn't American Idol. Hello. This isn't The Voice. This is God's house. Amen. That's right. And so God gives us abilities. And so I want to notice the verse and do our best on talking about the stumbling block of comparing. Now, the first thing I want to talk about here, just by introduction, we see a strong admonition. He said, "For we dare not." We dare not, strong language. It gives us the idea, it's to be bold, to venture out. In other words, Paul said, don't even go here. This is the place that as God's child, you don't want to go. Don't do that. So it's almost like he's saying, how dare you do that? It's not scriptural, it's not spiritual to begin to group up and say, you know what, I'm better than them, or my group's better than that group. And they begin to compare themselves among themselves. And folks, it's easy to do that from pastor to pastor, church to church. Folks, we're all in the same battle. We're all on the same team. We be brethren. Amen. And brethren ought to want to see other brethren do good. So we see a strong admonition. Paul said that we don't dare do that. That will bring more harm to a local assembly than just about anything among the church itself. So you got to remember, well, we're not getting hit yet from outside. The early church got hit from outside, but then all of a sudden the devil began to fight inside the church. He began to try to bring up strife inside the church and cause problems inside the church. So in this last day, to keep the light under a bushel, we are the light of the world. And the Bible tells us that we don't set our light under a bushel. We set it out where everybody can see light. And so to keep the church light dim, he keeps everything in disarray inside here. Are you with me? And so we dare not do that. Folks, hey, if I ever hear a preacher here say I preach better than them, you won't preach here. If I ever hear a singer say I sing better than them, you won't sing here. Amen. Or if a teacher says I can out-teach them, you won't teach here. I'll pull rank. We're not having that. Amen. We don't do that. Now, you say, preacher, is it happening now? No, but just in case you're thinking about it, I'm preaching it. Amen. You got to touch it. Because if that comes out of someone's mouth, their heart is desperately not in it for the Lord. Amen. So you don't need to be preaching, singing, teaching. You don't need to be doing any of that anyway until that gets right. So as a strong admonition. But then there's a self-adjuring. Preacher, what is that? Paul didn't want them to do what some others was doing. They were commending themselves. The Bible said, if anybody speaks well to you, let it be someone else and not yourself. That's what the book of Proverbs teaches us. They were commending themselves. Folks, let me know, they were telling everybody else just how good they were. Folks, let other people brag on you. Amen, let other people brag on you. Let other people encourage you. Don't wander around and commending yourself or commendating yourself or bragging on yourself. Paul said, I want you to be that way. Where commend means to constitute or approve themselves. They were putting themselves on their own pedestal. Folks, a pedestal is a dangerous place because they're easily to fall. I heard somebody say this, and I agree with it. It didn't fit me at all. It helped me. Don't put your preacher up on a pedestal where he can fall off of it. Put him down on your prayer list. Amen. That's right. So we see strong admonition, self-adjuring, but then we see sound advice. See, a sure way to either think too highly of ourselves or to get discouraged or defeated is to measure our spirituality and or our success based on someone else's success or someone else's lack thereof of it. Folks, I'm going to say this. God has blessed us. We're headed to the 28th year mark. It's hard to believe, isn't it? January, this church to be birthed 28 years ago. Some of you that may not know, we started with 27 people in an old store building down in Capabella on 357 in 1997. And the Lord grew us quickly. Now, we didn't do anything outside of preaching, praying, singing, shouting. And getting out and trying to be witnesses and winning the lost and inviting folk to church. That's all we did. We didn't have special gimmicks, games, or anything like that. And so to God be the glory. And from there, we grew, we bought the building up the road, built on, and then God gave us these 10 acres here, and we built this building. God gave us 3.5 more over yonder across the street, and God's been wonderful. But that doesn't make us better. That doesn't make me a better preacher or pastor. It doesn't make us better Christians than churches that don't have this. If we ever lose the humility that we started with, we're done. Now, I love my church. Now, when I say my church, I don't own this place. I mean the church I attend and the church I pastor. I've told you I got rebuked by a young preacher one time saying, my church. It ain't your church. I know that. That's not what I mean. Y'all like him sound effects? You can tell I used to watch Looney Tunes, don't you? I introduced my grandson to Foghorn Leghorn last week. He was mesmerized. But if we ever lose our humility, folks, we're finished. My wife will remind me at certain places and things, stay humble. Stay humble. Because the same God that gave this to us can be the same God that takes it away. What he's done. Anything wrong that's happened here, it's been me and you. Everything that's been blessed is God. So therefore, we're not going to look at any church, any pastor, and compare ourselves among ourselves, because that is not wise. Christians, do not do that among yourselves. Don't do that. You'll stay defeated or you'll stay puffed up. One or the other. And that is not God's will for us individually or for a church. You got to remember, it's God that gives abilities and it's God that gives disabilities. I want to read some verses to you, and you know this. There's nothing I'm preaching tonight that you don't know. But in 1 Corinthians, you don't have to turn unless you want to. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1, verse 25 through verse 31. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, how not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not to bring to naught things that are. Why did God do all that? That no flesh should glory in his presence. Let me pause right here just a minute. Let me pause right here just a minute. And something I want to address, that it's not going on here. As a pastor and these preachers, it's all over the building. Don't allow yourself to get so critical of other men of God. One of the downfalls of some of the older preachers, none are here. So remember that. I ain't talking about anybody here. But young preachers can't get near them without them trying to draw a line, telling them who they can like, who they can't like. The only way I'll steer any of you preachers away from anybody is if they're preaching false doctrine. And they're not right, and they're not in the right book, and they're not, hey, you understand what I'm saying? I'll veer you away from what's not right. Amen. But just because your personality may clash with that preacher, don't try to put hate on him to every preacher in the church. Because I got news for every pastor that's pastoring. I hope you're watching. You ain't pastored perfect either. Amen. Amen. You've not arrived either. You're not the Pope of the preachers. Who do you think you are trying to tell preachers who they like? Because you don't like them. When we probably made as many or more mistakes than they ever have. Ain't we having a time? Preacher, you act like you got an agenda. I did for that statement, but not for you people. I'm tired of hearing that among older preachers. I don't like him, so therefore you can't like him. You don't tell me who I like. I'm a grown man. Amen. I don't tell you who you can like. You're grown people. You're adults. My job is to steer you away from false doctrine. And false teaching. Wrong books. That's my job. My job isn't to tell, hey, make you like who I like and dislike who I don't like. Because everybody got preachers you like to hear and some you don't like to hear as much. And it's nothing to do with them. It's the style. The same basis, same word, the preacher got different styles. Amen. Okay, let's get off of that. Well, they done this and they done that. If it wasn't their moral, if it didn't disqualify them, give them a break, man. I've dropped the ball. You've dropped the ball. Preachers dropped the ball. I'm not talking about open gross sin, but sometimes we make the wrong decisions. Trying to make the right ones. I'm riding this horse, y'all. Y'all let me get it to the barn. I don't know, I got a son now that's in the ministry, and I don't want any bitter preachers, old preachers, trying to hinder them and discourage them and talk about how much they dislike every preacher around. They the one needs to get right with God. Get over yourself. Hello? Anybody got a jump rope? Why you want a jump rope, preacher? I don't know. Just come to my mind. You want a jump rope? But the stumbling block of comparing. Now, you may be here today, and that's a struggle for you. I'm back to the message. And that's a struggle for you. You either have a struggle. I'm not telling nobody to raise their hand on none of this. I want the Spirit of God to touch your heart. I want the Spirit of God to help you. But maybe you have a struggle in your mind. It agitates you because I ought to be used more because I'm just that much better. That could be your struggle. It was a struggle for Christians in the Bible. It's quiet in here. Or maybe you're struggling in comparing yourself to others, and you're in your mind, you're not as good, so I don't want to be called upon. Don't let the flesh and the devil defeat you on either side of that. Never think you're just that much better and you get aggravated because you're not used the most. Because you're comparing yourself, and you might have an extra touch of talent. That's what God gives you, but that doesn't mean nobody else can use theirs. And you over here comparing yourself, well, I can't preach as good, and I can't sing as good, I can't teach as good, and so therefore I'm going to take a seat. That's dangerous too. Again, this isn't a talent search. This isn't a competition. This isn't I'm better or I'm worse. What we do, whether we eat, whether we drink, do all for the glory of God. Amen. That's what we do. So, with that being said, let me notice a few things and we'll go home. Here's some things to remember about people in the Word of God. Number one, even the greatest struggle sometimes with their faith. You may look at some, I'm going to use a Bible example. And my friend, I'll go ahead and do it. John the Baptist. The Lord said he was the greatest. That's what the Lord said that about him. Out of every man born of woman, there's been a greater than John the Baptist. Jesus said it. And John the Baptist got arrested for preaching the truth. He told the upper echelon to repent. He said, hey, Herod, ain't right. You got your brother's wife. You're living in adultery. You shacked up. Yeah, that's still a sin. And if somebody here is doing that, I don't know you, so I ain't pinpointing you. That's the Holy Ghost. So John the Baptist gets arrested, and what does he begin to do? Doubt. The same one I preached on Wednesday night that leaped in his mother's womb when Mary told her that she was fixing to have the Son of God. She had, hey, the Spirit of God had overshadowed her, and she, hey, the Spirit of God, the Savior was in her womb. The same one that was preaching or baptizing, he baptized Christ, and the Trinity showed up. God the Father spoke. God the Son was standing there, and the Spirit abode upon him like a dove. You imagine that experience. I'm talking about God's man, powerful man. Hey, come out of the wilderness. He was the forerunner. He said, I'm not Christ. I'm this one crying from the wilderness. Make the way straight, the path straight. He's coming. Now he's in prison, doubting. Is he the one? Go ask him. Should I look for another? Can you imagine that? What I'm trying to say is this. If you're sitting here thinking, you know what? I struggle, and I look at them, and they don't seem to ever struggle. Everybody struggles. Everybody gets weak in faith. Everybody experiences doubt. Everybody battles through that. So don't say, I'm just a second-rate Christian, because everybody else is full of faith. We might be full of faith sometime, even most of the time, but not all the time. It don't work that way. Even the greatest, stop comparing yourself among yourself. We're all in the same boat. Even the greatest struggle sometimes with their faith. Notice this. Even the greatest struggle sometimes with their fears. Right. Oh, I'm always. No, folks, we're not to live in fear. God didn't give us the spirit of fear to have a spirit of fear, but we do battle fear. Who's the great? Well, to me, the greatest Christian ever lived outside of Christ was Paul. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, let me read you something. Verse 1, Paul said, and I, brethren, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom. You young preachers just surrendered, you need to mark these verses. Preachers that's been preaching as long as us, we need to mark these verses. Everybody here need to mark these verses. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellent speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in what? Fear. He was so scared, he said, and I was in much trembling. I go and read the next verse for you preaching boys. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration and of the Spirit and of power. Hey, Taylor, Will, where's Will? Will. I know y'all nervous. For a couple of weeks, y'all going to be preaching your first sermon right here. Y'all, everybody better be here. Years ago, Brother Boatner was telling me, and that was years ago when Brother Boatner and Brother Phil Kidd was in the same church. Y'all imagine that? In the same church. And one Saturday night, they was ordaining a boy that God had saved called a preacher who was raised up right in that church. So they had an ordination service that night, and hardly nobody from the church showed up. Well, the next morning, Brother Boatner was scheduled to preach, and Brother Boatner was kindly rebuking the church. He was kindly rebuking the church. Phil Kidd said, stand them up. Let's vote them out. We don't want nobody to holler that out next couple of weeks. But I want me and all these men to know, these men of God to know, we ought to study. We ought to pray. Then we ought to pray. We ought to study. But our main goal is not to show off any knowledge. but it's a stand in the pulpit with the anointing and the power of God, not with excellence of speech, of man's wisdom. We don't worry about that. I want to see a man full of the Holy Ghost. Live clean, live right, stay prayed up, bred up, studied up, and get up here and preach. I don't care if you preach 1 minute. I don't care if you preach 15 minutes. That's your limit that night. Y'all thought I was going to say an hour. No, I didn't. If the Lord gets on it, we'll know what to do. But Paul said, he said, I came in fear and in much trembling. I asked this question as a young preacher. I asked this question to an older preacher. I said, when do you stop being nervous and afraid? He said, if that ever goes away, sit down. You don't need to preach. Because you're handling the Word of God. You're preaching to people. It's weighed in the balance in some of them. You better take it serious. The amen goes right there. That's right. So, the greatest struggle sometimes with faith. The greatest struggle sometimes with fear. So don't compare yourself among yourself then. We're all together. We're all together. Then notice thirdly, the greatest even sometimes struggle with their flesh. Romans 7. I'm not going to take time to read it all. Romans 7, chapter number 7, verses 14 through 25. You've read it. Paul, God allows and makes Paul write this down of that struggle with his flesh. The things I should do, them the things I don't do, the things I shouldn't do, them the things I do, oh, wretched man that I am. He went back and forth. Paul, in other words, Paul never got comfortable with that battle with his flesh. He never okayed it. He never gave it permission, but he still fought it and struggled with it. And folks, hey, don't think, well, you know what? I get around brother so-and-so, and I get around sister so-and-so, and it just seems like they don't have battles with their flesh. Oh, but they do. Oh, but they do. Every human being is tempted away with their own lust and enticed. Every one of us have that sin which does so easily beset us that we contend with daily. And sometimes we have to fall on our face before a holy God and say, Lord, have mercy on me. Again, we're not patting sin on the back. We're not saying it's all right. We ought to be fighting that good fight. Paul did. And that's why he wasn't ashamed when Jesus come. But even the greatest struggle with it sometime. Even the greatest struggle with it sometime. Get back on. I can't remember his name now. I know, Jonathan, I know you'd know him, but ain't no sense in me trying to figure his name, tell you who he is if I don't know him. He preached here one time, older preacher. Y'all know who I'm talking about? But he had some younger preachers ask him one time, he said, I can't think of his name, he's got a letter from him the other day. But it's rough when you bust 50 wide open, don't you? I don't know. He preached for Brother Travis Parker a lot. There you go, Brother Ray. That young mind, man, that young mind. Hey, man. You see that little hint I gave him? Bam! Brother Bray. Yeah, godly man. Humble man. Good man. But anyway, so my old preachers asked, said, how do we, boy, these old preachers can get by with it. They said, how can we really get God on us? And he said, you got to get up early. At least by 4 o'clock in the morning, you better get with God early. They said, okay. Well, I don't know how long it went, and they seen him somewhere, and they said, we're doing that, but it's about to kill us. He said, we can't hardly do our job. How do you do it? He said, oh, I go back to bed. Never having to go to work. Brother Beer was here, I go back to bed. Brother Parker made him tell me that story when he was here. I said, yeah, old men of God can do that. He said, how do you do it? He said, oh, I'm just serious to him. He said, oh, I go back to bed after that. Even the greatest struggle with the flesh. Now here we go. Let me come to a place here, to a plateau here. So what do we do to stop comparing ourselves and measuring ourselves among ourselves? How do we stop it? Now I believe the temptation will always be there, but what do we do? Well, we need to, first of all, depend on staying focused on the Lord. See, our focus is on people. Our focus is on people. Paul said it like this in Hebrews 12:1, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Word seeing means perceived by the eye. And he said in verse number 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. So those people in Hebrews 11, the Hall of Fame of Faith, they accomplished what they accomplished because their focus was right, and it was on the Lord. All those temptations, all those trials, all those testings, all of that, that the beatings and killing, all that they went through, they would never have been able to do it if their eyes would have been on people. You'll never do what God wants you to do with your eyes on people. I'm going to go ahead and say this. People, not everybody is going to be in your corner. Not everybody's going to encourage you. You realize one but two people held up Moses' hands. I'm not trying to take it out of context or anything, but one but two people did it. But two people did it. Get a hold of that. I'm trying to make an application there. Get a hold of that. You don't need 500 people holding your hands up. God will send the right people when you need them. Amen. So quit. Hey, you're going to be criticized. You're going to be lied on. I'm talking about from your peers, your the brethren. Which is sorry is the devil, but it happens. That's going to happen. Where's your eyes at? Where's your eyes at? Now, again, I'm not acting like I'm super spiritual. There was a day in my life this really, really, really bothered me of what people, and folks, I think you ought to care to a certain extent what people think of you. No, don't misunderstand that. But the Proverbs teaches that. You know that. I've been mentioning that. But to the place where you can't function for God without the applause or the approval of people. If anybody's against me, I quit. Folks, we can't do that. Folks, we're in a spiritual warfare. We're soldiers. We can't quit over something like that. Hey, here's where you see it. That's their loss. If they don't like you, that's their loss. There's something about you that makes them, compare themselves and come up short. They shouldn't be doing that. So, how are we going to get through it? Number one, depending on staying focused on the Lord. Then secondly, notice this. It depends on our staying fervent in our labors. You get that? It depends on staying fervent in our, what's God got you doing? Stay looking at Him and stay busy doing it. Come on. You know, I'm not saying this happens all the time, but you know what little bit of foot racing track I've watched? Foot racing. I'll tell you how old I am. Foot racing. Good gracious. But anyway, what little bit I know, especially the sprinters, they're dead ahead. They're looking dead ahead. A little cardio while I'm up here. They're dead ahead. But you know what I've noticed? That's the sprinters. But folks, this Christian life is not a sprint. It's more of a marathon. And I've seen some of those long distance foot runners. If they're not careful, they'll begin to run and they'll look. I was in physical therapy the other day, and I was watching the paraplegic marathon. Boy, those things, boy, them guys is in shape. But while I was on that little, I had to start 10 minutes on this bicycle, and I'm watching it, and I saw the very thing happen. One of those guys, I mean, they're going up hills, man, it was rough. Man, they was getting it. And one guy, I don't know what place they were in. I couldn't keep up with all that because they were so spread out and they was just showing different places. But he turned around and looked at the other guy beside him in the race and got a little tangled up, and the guy passed him. Went right around him. If he'd have kept his eyes focused on the goal and what he was there to do, that guy would never passed him. Now, I couldn't tell you if he ever passed him back, but folks, this Christian life's a marathon. We're going to stay tripped up. We're going to stay confused. We're going to stay all in array if we don't keep our eyes focused on the Lord and focused on the labor that he has for us. I pray for God's men everywhere, Bible-believing churches everywhere, but I don't stay focused on what they're doing or not doing. I've got a job here. I have a place of labor here. I don't have time to meddle in another man's matters. To his own master, he rises or falls. That's what Paul taught, buddy. That's what the Word of God to his, hey, remember that. Quit being so concerned about what everybody else is doing, or ain't doing it, don't suit you. Hey, to their own master, they rise or they fall. You do what you're supposed to. You stay focused on what God, you stay focused on Him. He loved you, He died for you, He saved you. Stay focused on Him. Take focus on the Lord. Stay focused on the labor He has for you. They're going to be people on the sidelines. That's what they do, on the sidelines. And the only thing they do is run their mouth on the sideline. That's right. Amazes me. I got relatives. They ain't never had a football helmet on their head. They can tell you exactly what they're supposed to be doing out there. A lot of people turn me away from certain teams because of the way they act over them. So I don't like them Tigers. I've had people just make me not like them. He said, preacher, you get right with God, that all settle up. I know. It's my flesh. But don't beat me over the head with it. Expect me to, hey, that gets on my nerves. See how weak I am. Well, at least I stopped cussing them out. No, I don't do that out loud. Anyway, I don't do that. I know, brother, everybody's done that. It's been a rough day. It's been a good day. I got liberty up here. But you got people on the sideline, that's all they know. He's telling you how to do it, how wrong you're doing it. It's just like an interview. Paul used sports as an analogy, and I agreed with him. I like Dabo. He made a statement, a little bit. I made a statement. He said, it don't matter to me. My eyes is on something bigger than y'all that can't be changed. And he said, when we do good, y'all going to brag on us. We do bad, y'all going to criticize us. You know what he was saying? Y'all don't care about me. Y'all don't care about how we feel. Y'all don't care about this. Y'all don't care. Well, if we do good, you love us. If we do bad, you hate us. That's how it is. He was right. And the same goes with anything you do, especially the things of God.
Amen.
But things of God's kind of different. They'll hate you if you're doing good and love you if you ain't doing good. As long as you ain't doing as good as them. See, comparing yourselves among yourselves. So keep your eyes focused on the Lord. And folks, y'all know I was joking. I ain't cussed nobody out over nothing like that. Okay? I promise. I'd be more apt to get hot if you get the last piece of chicken. Not no ball game. I promise you that. But it's not wise. The Lord said through the writing, it's not wise to compare ourselves, to commend yourselves, compare yourselves among yourselves, because it does nothing but get our eyes off of God, keep us to a place where God can't use us effectively. When you get up to sing, you do it for the glory of God. When you get up to preach, you do it for the glory of God. When you get up to teach a class, you do it for the glory of God. Whatever you do, do it for the glory of God. Let's all stand.
She comes to the piano.
Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Y'all are open. Church, I know I've been here and there and been a little silly, but I don't mean to do that. This is a serious